I have the great pleasure of announcing Wendy Snyder. I'm going to attempt to open my phone here, sorry. All right. Wendy is a parent educator. Why does technology never want to work for you when it needs to? She is super passionate about helping families find peace in their home and just teaching parents skills and ways to have different relationships with their child. Okay, here we go. Sorry. Registered with the International Network for Children and Families. She is a Southern California resident and mom of two vibrant young kids. And she just really, again, wants to help families experience more joy in their life that is uplifting and motivating. So please help me welcome Wendy Snyder.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, mic working?
Are we here okay?
Yeah, wonderful. Hi, ladies. I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you all for having me. I am Wendy Snyder with Fresh Start Parenting, and I'm here to bring you guys hope and encouragement and new tools today. So let's get our slideshow started. Just in one second, maybe. All right. So I'm going to start off with just a quick introduction of myself. So I live here in Encinitas. And I have two young kiddos. I have a 6-year-old little boy and a 9-year-old little girl. And I teach positive parenting, which is mostly what I teach is from the work of Redirecting Children's Behavior. And it's a program that's over 50 years old, and it's wonderful. And so I have an office in Encinitas, and I do classes and seminars and private coaching, and I just love what I do. And so we'll take a little look at what we'll be talking about today. So before we look at our agenda for the day, I want to ask some questions. So how many of you have girls, daughters? A lot of girls. All right. And how many of you have sons? Okay. And how many of you have kids over the age of 5? Oh, okay. We've got some. And everybody has under age 5, right? How many pregnant mamas? Oh, yay. A few. It's like this. It's like, I'm pregnant. And how many of you are a little bit tired? Oh my gosh. Goodness. Takes a while to go away. And then how many of you could use some encouragement and some new tools today on how to work with your family in different ways? All of us, right? So let's look at what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to talk a little bit about why we are here today, what brings each and every one of us here in our unique ways. And then we're going to go in to talk a little bit about the psychology behind positive parenting. And then we'll talk about sibling rivalry versus sibling conflict. And we'll kind of define what sibling rivalry is. And then we'll look at what sibling conflict is. And then we'll do some fun role plays in between also. That'll really cement our learning. Okay? So I'm going to start off by telling you guys a little bit about my personal testimony and how a deeper story of how I got into this work. And so when my daughter was born, she was 3. Or when my son was born, my daughter was 3. She was just kind of embarking on the many challenges of toddlerhood. And I had my second child, a little boy, who was my second colicky baby. And I couldn't believe it. Who gets 2 colicky? Has anyone in here gotten 2 colicky babies? Oh my gosh, sisters, unite. How does that happen? We couldn't believe it. We were like, oh my gosh, they just cry and cry and cry, and it's so sad. So obviously it was a super stressful time in our lives, and we had not found this work yet, and so we just started working with our little girl who was 3 at the time in all the traditional ways, all the stuff that we inherited. And so pretty soon we realized that it, and she had always had a very strong personality. She kind of came into the world with a bang, and she was just fabulous from day one, but she was strong, and we knew it from day one. So when he came along and she had to kind of share her time with him, and it became bad, let's just say that. I had just left my career in the surf industry of 15 years thinking it was gonna be dreamy to stay home with my kids, and we were gonna be at the beach and play dates, and it just was a nightmare. It really was a nightmare. It was timeouts all day, tantrums all day, the baby was crying all day, and then, you know, you add mastitis and breastfeeding and no sleep, and it was just like, oh my gosh. So pretty soon I got a super negative view of not only parenting, but of my daughter. And so within time, it became super heavy. And before long, it turned into every day I would wake up and I just didn't want to spend the day with her. And so thank God this work came along, and my son and my daughter at the time went to a little preschool that offered this course, and I started taking this course, and really quickly it started to bring light back to my world. And it all started with me. I started to see some things that I could change. Really, a lot of this work that we'll talk about today, ladies, starts with us. And then as soon as I was able to implement some things and change some things, she organically, naturally started to change. And then as a family, we all started to change, and just the light came back. And so I'm so grateful for this work, and I really can't speak highly enough about it, because it has brought joy and peace into our home. Don't get me wrong. You know, we obviously, as teachers, we have to do tons of certification and tons of training in this work. And I'm a mom just like you guys, and my family's totally normal. So even with this work, I always say to families, this work is no magic pill, you know, that's not gonna create perfect children. What it does is just give you a wonderful peace of mind that you are leading, you're raising your kids with integrity, you are using respect and compassion in your home, and it really does work. However, there's normal bumps and everyday stuff that goes on. And so I get it. I'm right there with all you guys, and I'm doing the walk every single day alongside you. I still have to take my kids grocery shopping, and at 6 and 9, they're a little bit out of the crazy zone, but they're still crazy sometimes. So I'm right there with you. So that's kind of why I am here today, and what brings me to be a teacher, and why I'm so passionate about this work. And so we're going to spend a few minutes before we get started on why, what brings you guys here today, and why you know, what you want to get out of the day. So I'm going to have everyone close their eyes, and I just want you to kind of think about your daughters. I want you to think about your sons. Make sure you close your eyes if you haven't already. Take this moment, ladies. Ooh, close your eyes. No kids around. And just think about, you know, maybe your parents. I want you to think about your family that you go home to after this, your family at night. I want you to maybe think about your extended family that lives near you. I want you to, if you're pregnant, I want you to think about the little one in your tummy. And I just want you to really identify, why are you here today? With knowing who I am, what we're here to talk about, sibling rivalry, I want you to think about and identify, what do you want to get out of today? Keep your eyes shut and just think about it for one more minute. And then when you open your eyes, I want you to write just a few thoughts down on your paper that came to your mind. And then after you've written down a few, I want you to your partner next door, sitting next to you, just share one or two. Now we're gonna move into, everyone up here, 1, 2, eyes on you, is that it? Okay, thank you so much for sharing with each other. And I'm gonna call on maybe one or two brave souls to share one of their reasons what they would like to get out of today. Does anyone wanna volunteer to share? Yes.
Sure, I have 5 kids, and so I noticed, like, the first one and the third one, the girls, they are rivals as opposed to just having conflict.
So sorry, you have three kids?
So I have five kids.
Five kids.
So I have three girls and two boys and another boy on the way.
Oh.
But interestingly, the three girls, so the first girl and the third girl, are actual rivals. They're so similar to each other.
Yeah.
The middle girl doesn't. She'll have conflict. So I just, you'll explain the difference between rivalry and conflict, but I feel like on a day-to-day basis, conflict I can handle because it's not about, like, hating the person. It's about,
yeah,
like, you took my toy or something. But I feel like my first and third, like, actually don't like each other. And so
yeah.
I grew up with my brother and I like that, too. We were so similar that we just butted heads all the time. So I'm like, I think they'll be fine as grown-ups, but let's make life nicer right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for
Thank
sharing.
You.
Yeah, we got another one. Linda.
I'm interested in learning about how our language impacts their relationship. So certain language that we use on a regular basis that is either a trigger for sibling rivalry or language that unifies. And so,
yes,
because we do it and we don't even think, we just start talking. So that's what I would like to know.
Yeah, thank you. I'm right behind you. And we'll do one more and then we'll move on. If anyone, oh, two is perfect. That's great. Thank you guys for sharing. Yeah, so a subject we're definitely...
Sorry.
Do one more. Yes, do one more.
So I wrote down, I'd like to learn how to guide and foster love and friendship between our daughters. I have twin girls, and they're babies. So I don't have any specific examples yet, but I also want to learn how to lead through example with my own siblings. I have a very good relationship with my brother, so learning more tricks and tips. And then also passing on these skills to my husband so that his relationship with his brother, which is also good, but they are boys, so they are a little bit more competitive, passing on those skills to him so that he could also lead by example.
Absolutely. Thank you. What's your name again?
Danielle,
thank you. All right. So yeah, such a great topic, right? Sibling rivalry and sibling conflict. I know in my own home, this is a big one. I have two that are very similar, even though my little guy, he's a lot more easygoing. My older one is, they're both just very strong. They're very strong humans. And so we get to practice this stuff a lot in our home, and it really does work, you guys. So, all right, so how many of you hear this type of stuff in your home? Mom, he hit me! Or I hate you. Maybe you have a lot of little ones so far, so maybe the language is a little less severe at your guys' age. But and then, you know, we might say something like, if you don't stop that fighting right now, and our tone is just like, or you always take her side because you like her better than me. And if they don't say that exactly, you can tell in their tone that they're feeling that, right? Or right now, I do like her better because she isn't bothering her brother like you are, or stuff like this, right? I mean, it's like all day long, this stuff just comes out of our mouth. Our kids say this kind of stuff. Sibling rivalry, if you have more than one kid, sibling conflict also is just, it's just occurring in households, right? It just is. So, let's look a little bit at the psychology behind positive parenting and how we want to view this type of sibling rivalry and conflict in our homes. Because a lot of us traditionally just think it's annoying, we think it's bad behavior, we think it's unacceptable, we might think it's unpolite, all these things, right? And it's really hard to mentor and teach people how to get along and admire one another when we have this viewpoint of them. Because you just always are kind of wishing people would change, and that's not a great way to inspire other people to change. It just doesn't feel good, and people aren't motivated to have different behavior. So this wonderful gentleman by the name of Rudolf Dreikers is kind of the grandfather of positive parenting. So he was a really renowned child psychologist back in the 50s, and he wrote a wonderful book called Children the Challenge, and he really had this amazing forward thinking of children, because obviously back then there was a lot of inequality in the world, and especially with kids, you know, they were not meant to be heard, they were just meant to be seen, and you know, they were supposed to do what they were told no matter what, and he really had this wonderful vision of them, that they were more of a contributing part of our society and had so much to teach us besides just being little humans growing up. And And his work is just absolutely amazing. And so from his work is what spawned a lot of these positive parenting programs, Redirecting Children's Behavior, which is the program that I teach from, and then Positive Discipline is another one. There's another one in the area called The Joy of Parenting, which is wonderful also. And so he really touched on this idea that, you know, as humans, we're the only species that needs more than food, water, and shelter to survive. We need to feel loved, we need to feel like we belong, we need to feel like we are can feel powerful at times and feel valuable, and we need to be able to experiment and explore, and we need to just be able to give love and all these types of psychological components that comes into the human existence, that if we don't have these, we'll often self-destruct. And this happens in adults just like it does in children. You know, someone in Hollywood might seem like they have everything, but if they don't have every, you know, all these psychological needs met, then there can be self-destruction that occurs. And in children, this looks like misbehavior. So he helps us by really looking at, okay, when our kids are misbehaving, you know, he asks us to shift our paradigm from seeing them as bad or misbehaving or naughty or selfish or all these things that come so easily to us, at least my head used to. He has us shift that to view them as trying to communicate an unmet need. And his work, you know, in our classes and our seminars, we go into greater detail on, he goes into the four mistaken goals and how that's really the basis of all of this work, is how we identify with our kids when they're in different elements of mistaken beliefs and what they're trying to communicate that they need. Two biggest ones is power and attention. So a lot of times our kids are just trying to communicate that they'd like some more power or they'd like some more attention. And so what's cool is, as parents, when we can identify this, it's easier to teach them, oh, are you just trying to feel some power right now? Because that's actually totally healthy. We need world leaders that are strong and powerful and brave and stand up for what they believe in, right? We need that. So it's okay that you want power. However, you gotta get it in an appropriate way. You can't grab your brother's toy, or we gotta redo how we do this, stuff like that. So these are all healthy human needs that our kids are going through on a daily basis. And when we can identify with those, it's easier for us to teach them. So it all starts with changing our paradigm on how we see them. So why do kids fight? So you guys can all kind of think about some different reasons why kids fight. Obviously, it's kind of a no-brainer in our home. We can think about, they fight over stuff, right? Sometimes I think, oh my gosh, we have too much stuff. I want to live one of those minimalist life, you know, where you just don't have that much stuff, because we have so much stuff and there's just so many things that they can fight over. Or maybe to get mom or dad to take their side, because sometimes to a little child that can feel like the most powerful thing, is if you feel like mom or dad love you more. Maybe when they're mad at someone or they're mad at themselves. You know, I know as an adult human, I can identify now that sometimes I'm just kind of having a bad day or I'm mad at myself and I'll take it out on somebody else. But little kids can't quite identify that yet. Maybe when they're bored, when they want to feel powerful by defeating the other child, when they want to get their siblings in trouble, they set it up to be a victim, that kind of stuff, right? And so I'm sure you guys can imagine different things in your own home where your kids fight. So we're gonna do another quick little exercise, and before we go into it, I just want you to remember the psychology behind what we're trying to change our mind into thinking about it. So we're gonna think of some different ways that our kids fight, and what they fight over, or arguments that they have, or when it seems like they don't like each other, it might be the things they say about one another. And I want you just to remember the psychology behind how we're rewiring our brain here. So remember, all children, all humans, need to feel love and give love. They need to belong. They need to be special, feel powerful, feel valuable, to experiment and explore. And then I would add, really, to feel safe and to be safe. Okay, so what I'm gonna have you guys do in your workbook, you can there's a little page, Why Children Fight, and you're gonna take a moment in your small groups and you're gonna write down, why do my kids fight? What are some circumstances that happens all the time? A lot of times in our life as parents, it's patterns, right? It's like every day, like my kids used to fight over this one chair. It was like my nursing chair that I got when my daughter was born. It's a beautiful chair, but it's this big. And they would always fight over the same chair every day. And patterns are actually a beautiful place in our life where we can really find some results when we identify those. So start there, and then what you want to do is on that right column is just start thinking in your head, I used to think of it, they're just naughty, or they're being bad, or they're not listening, or they're not liking their brother, or any of that kind of stuff. And now you want to shift it to think, what unmet need could they be searching for? And I'll give you guys a few minutes just to brainstorm on that. Hello? All right, ladies. Thank you. I heard some great ideas going on. I also saw some awesome faces that were like, what? Did anyone feel like it kind of came down to the need to have power or attention a lot? Did anyone feel that? Yeah, you can see how that is a big element of it, right? Okay, so, great. Let's move on to looking at what we can actually do now to lessen sibling rivalry. Obviously, kids fight. You know, it's like this has been going on from the days of Cain and Abel in the Bible, right? This is nothing new. This is nothing new. It almost should be expected that our kids are going to have some sibling rivalry, right? And so it should not be a surprise to us at all. And from forever, we've been trying to figure out as parents and families how to have more peace in the home. So it's nothing new. And the sooner we can see it as just a challenge versus something wrong with our kids, the sooner that we're going to be able to get some results and get some more peace in the home. And so just starting with that paradigm shift, I think is really gonna help us today. So let's move on to looking at some specific things we can do. So comparisons, let's start off with some comparisons. So this is something we really want to try to avoid. So no matter how many kids you have, we have to remember that all of our kids are unique and they're designed perfectly and beautifully to be their own wonderful human being. So comparisons just really don't help. So, and where we get into trouble here, I think, is sometimes we even think positive comparisons can be good and they can help their self-esteem. So some examples of positive comparisons. I love the picture you did in art today. You definitely are the artist in the family. It's like, it's not helpful. And we'll look at some ways to rephrase it. Or, wow, you got that math homework done in only 20 minutes. I remember your brother really struggled with math when he was in the second grade. Or, isn't it nice that you are such a big boy now? You can ride your two-wheel bike instead of your tricycle like your little sister is still riding. Stuff like that is like, it seems harmless, but it just kind of feeds into this competitive comparison nature. And it's a lot of times that's stuff that we don't even catch. You know, we're just like, what's the big deal? But then again, many of us are just dying to have a better relationship for our kids. And then the negative ones are pretty obvious, but some examples. You spilled your lunch down your shirt again. Even your baby sister doesn't make as big of a mess as you do. Or how come I have to remind you 3 times to brush your teeth and I only have to tell your brother once and he's 2? You know, that kind of stuff. Or it's okay that you can't play baseball as well as your brother. He can't play the piano and you are really good at that. It's like, it's negative. It just doesn't help. It's like, you know, let's look at our kids uniquely so you can kind of see the differences there. And so some rephrases real quick would be, you really enjoy art, don't you? Instead of, wow, you're really the artist in the family. Or you finished your math homework in 20 minutes. Congratulations, that must feel good. Or you look like a grown-up when you ride your two-wheel bike. How does that feel? Just stuff like that. We don't need to compare, okay? So that's number one, avoiding comparisons. Number two, treat each child according to their needs instead of each child equally. So, you know, again, our children are created uniquely and perfectly special. We, you know, this is kind of this falseness in our brain that can make us believe that everything has to be equal. You know, if we snuggle with this one this much amount of time, we gotta snuggle with this one, even though this one doesn't like to snuggle. It's like, it doesn't make sense. So figure out, you know, some of our kids are gonna have greater needs at certain parts of their life, and others are gonna have, you know, greater needs at different parts of their life, and that's okay. So really think about how you can treat each child uniquely and according to their needs instead of equally. Show children how they are loved uniquely, like we just talked about, and then avoid labeling children and locking them into roles. This is a big one that I think can feed into the sibling rivalry and relationships with our kids, because a lot of times these labels come out in our household very easily, and you see this as, oh, he's shy, or, oh, he's really rough with his brother, or, you know, I never forget, I used to call my daughter sassy. And thank God I had a girlfriend. Does anyone have those friends who are like super honest with you, and at times you're like, gosh, you're mean. And then years later, you're like, thank God somebody told me. So I used to get really mad at my daughter because she wanted to wear dresses all the time. And I remember Terry and my husband and I were like, we are not gonna have a daughter who always wore dress-up dresses. Like, she's gonna be on Billabong and surf gear. And it was just like ridiculous. And so, but I used to say, she's so sassy, all she wants to do. And Nikki, my friend Nikki one day said, Wendy, you have to stop calling her that. You know, she's listening to you. She hears everything you say. And Nikki is not a positive parenting teacher. And it just kind of, it did change me, that comment. And she's gone on to make a few more that have really helped me, you know, develop as a human. Those friends are good. But yeah, they really do. You know, kids often have their core beliefs set by the age of 7. So we really need to be careful on what we're telling them that they are. So if you'd like the super rough, kinesthetic, very touchy kid, which my Stella was, my toddler who's now 9, if you want those kids to be more gentle and to be more kind with their brothers or to be more, you know, soft, then don't label them as the rough one, because they can easily just fall into believing that's who they are because they're forming their core beliefs. Okay? Same with shyness. Please just try to stay away from all those labels. And the good news is, you guys, they change. There's so many things about our kids that will never change. You know, Stella, as an example, my 9-year-old, she is outgoing, she is strong, there's things that have not changed at all about her. However, she is not a rough, you know, unkind, selfish, it was, when she was 3, I had doubts, but she's not like that anymore. They grow up, they change, this work helped, you know, just helps them, but they really do change. They're not, just because they're one way, certain parts in their life does not mean they're gonna be like that forever. Allow appropriate expression of negative feelings about siblings. So this is an area where a lot of parents, you know, will say, no, you don't feel like that. Oh, you're just, no, you don't really think that. And so an example would be, had a girlfriend who had a baby, and Chase, when the little girl came out, said, Mom, can't you just put her back in your belly? I think he was 3 at the time. And of course she replied with, no, you don't want that. No, you love your sister. And so it's just a way of just making him wrong that isn't necessary. Because really, he's 3. All he's trying to say in that moment is, Mom, I really liked it when I had all your attention, and it's very hard to share with my little sister now. So sometimes when our kids say stuff like that, you can just say, oh, I can see why you would think that right now. I have a feeling you might not always think like that, but I can see why you think like that now. Or, oh, if they say something like, I hate Johnny, he's so mean, you can say, oh, wow. You're really mad at him right now, aren't you? Are you feeling angry? Instead of, no, you don't. Don't say that about your brother. You love him. It's like, they're like, no, I don't. And then 30 minutes later, they're fine, right? And then the last one we'll go over is avoid using competition to motivate. So this is one of those areas, dads have a hard time with this especially, because, you know, competition is one of those go-tos that a lot of us do as parents, along with bribery, threats, fear, force, and rewards, right? Competition is like, anything. When you use a race for anything, does it work? Oh yeah, it works, right? But there's some downfalls about it. So instead of using competition, just try to compare, you know, try to use other things as motivation. Animals are a great thing to use with little kids. Do you want to be a cheetah or a turtle? If you want them to move fast, do you want to be a cheetah or a racehorse? Or do you want to be, if you want them to move slow and chill out, do you want to be a turtle or a sloth? You know, those type of things. Or the clock is a great thing to time them or put them against. Like, hey, do you want me to time you? How fast can you do this? And then tomorrow we'll see if we can beat the time. They love being fast. You just want to avoid putting them against each other. And I do remember a time when my kids would go up the stairs literally almost every day, and they were little, and they would just throw each other out of the way. They're fiercely competitive. So I don't need to feed into that anymore. And remember, with competition, a lot of times, most times, humans, they either have it or they don't. It's not really something you can breed in humans. So if your children are going to be competitive and they're going to, you know, be that type of person, they're just going to be that type of person. So we don't have to worry about teaching that to them. Okay, so let's do some fun role plays to cement this learning. And the first one we're going to do, I'm just going to show you one, and then we're going to do two at the tables. So for the first one, I need two volunteers, and you are going to be my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old. And we're going to the zoo. It's fun, I promise. I got one. I got one. I need one more. Oh, I need one more. Oh, yeah. Okay, awesome. What's your name?
Amy.
Amy and Linda. Okay, thank you.
It's on.
Okay, so Amy and Linda. All right, so we are going to pretend that you're 3 and you're 5, and we're going to the zoo. And you know how it is. Even if you're going somewhere fun, it's like, please, just get on your shoes, get on your stuff. Like, let's go. We're going to the zoo, okay? And I'm, like, frustrated, and I just want you in the car. So I'm gonna do my go-tos, because they're just so easy to pull out of our pocket, right? So I'm going to use some bribery, some rewards, and some competition, all right? All together. Okay, you guys, we have to get going, because we're never gonna make it to the zoo, and it's a, I am so, this is ridiculous. Okay, you know what, fine, listen. First one to the car, gets a lollipop.
They're on the wrong feet.
First one to the car, gets a lollipop, and then when we get there, we'll get ice cream.
No, I won't be the light leader.
I'm going first. Going. Okay, we're in the car. We got it, we made it. Whew. All right, how you feeling?
I don't have my shoes. Mommy, where are my shoes? Get my shoes.
We forgot shoes.
I can't walk.
How do you feel?
I want my shoes. Why can't I? I'm not going to go to the zoo without
my
shoes.
Feel?
How do I feel? I don't know.
I'm tired. Tired. And how much do you like your sister right now?
I like you ever.
Ever?
I hate my sister.
Who made it to the car first? I think you did. So you get the lollipop. Here's your lollipop.
I want one. I want a blue one. I want a blue one.
All right, so parents, you can see where this is going, right? This is not really great to better their relationship. So let's go back, and we'll do it. We'll try it again. And I'll use some different things. So let's look at our list. So we've got making sure they each feel great. You can choose. You know this. You're not going to use everything every single time. But today, let's just switch it up on the competition part and use some different things that I mentioned. Okay. So hey guys, we got to get to the zoo. There's a show at 12:30 with the koala bear that I really want to see. So do we want to be racehorses or cheetahs? The car is over there. Which one?
Racehorses.
Okay. Ready? Ready? Go! So how do you all feel right now versus the first time? Excited, calm. How do you guys feel?
I think my three-year-old would have still been mad she was second.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. But I didn't feed into it.
Okay.
There's still gonna be two. Okay, that's okay. This isn't gonna create perfection for you. It's just gonna take you out of the element. And it is gonna inspire them a little bit more. It's gonna be fun. Because remember guys, kids love play. They learn so well with play. So when you incorporate play and animals instead of competition, but what we've done in that situation is we've just taken it, it's not about you versus her, and you might still have some of that because you might just be a competitive girl. There's nothing that's gonna change that. You know, part of our journey, parents, is learning to love the competitive ones and raise them because it's tough. They get really jaded. My Stella, whew, you know. She wanted to win first prize in Jogathon fundraising last week. She worked her tail off for it. I mean, she's a competitive girl. So that it doesn't necessarily change that.
But it's taking mom out.
It's just taking mom out, and I'm just trying to decrease it a little bit. And we got to the car, and it was a little bit more fun. It was a little bit more calm.
Did okay? You see the koalas?
Oh, yeah, we made it to the koalas, and I got a coffee. So life is okay. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys two more scenarios that you're just going to have a few minutes to practice at your tables, okay? So the first one is going to be your preschooler comes home with a red card. And you're just going to figure out some different ways to talk to him about it. And I know you guys aren't going to have all the answers right now, and that's okay. But I just want your mind to start going and thinking a little bit differently about it. And you know, maybe you're in the car with the other sibling, and you have to talk to him about the red card that he got at school. Okay? And then the third scenario, we'll do one more after that if we have time on your page. And we're going to pretend that you have a toddler that's super emotional and easily offended or gets his feelings hurt by his brother. Okay? And just kind of jot down, you can share with your partner if you want, just some ways that you would address that situation with these lessening sibling rivalry tips. So avoid using the comparisons, avoid competition, identify their uniqueness. You might have come up with some different viewpoints or ideas on those scenarios. Anyone? Maybe? How many of you struggled with to come up with some different ideas on those? Anyone? Yeah. It's tough, right? It's tough to shift our paradigm and just see it in a different light. How many of you can see how there's value in learning it and then practicing it? Right? Isn't that cool? How when you learn it, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, or sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it makes sense, and then you go home and you try it, and it's like, this is not working. It's because you really, the practicing is awesome. The practicing is key to it. And so that's what I do, guys. So that's, you know, as a positive parenting teacher, I'm here to bring you guys the information, and then help you guys to practice it. Because one of the things I've learned in my life as a parent is that when I learned this information, it wasn't just a one seminar thing, it wasn't just a one class thing. This is a walk that took me many, many, many years. And after 6 years, I feel like our family is finally pretty darn fluent in this language, and we love it. It's like, I'm so passionate about it. I love it. I love how we communicate with one another. I love how we deal with challenges. I love how we teach our kids. I love all the tools that this work has given me to work with them with compassion and respect and firmness and kindness. However, I know that it's more than just one seminar thing. So obviously I have 1 hour with you guys today. It's not enough to go into all, even everything regarding this subject, but I do have a seminar series that I would love to have you guys join me for. That is 5 parts to it. And it's just a wonderful way to continue your daily practice of learning and applying and then getting coaching. Learning, applying, and getting coaching. And you can see we have all different types of subjects, so setting limits and sticking them successfully, consequences at work, creating cooperative families, bully-proofing your children, what to do when your kids drive you crazy. There's all these great, and these are 2.5-hour seminars. They're a quick kind of, and they're fun. We have fun together. They're great for to bring your spouse or your mom, and they're just really fun. So I would encourage you guys to really join me for those. We have an event price today that if you sign up, you get a really nice discount. So I will be over here at the table afterwards. Be sure that you come ask me questions, or I would love to have you all for that, because you guys deserve this. You know, you deserve to have more peace and joy in your homes. This is hard work. We're all just doing so much, and we love these little guys so much that we deserve to have these tools, okay? But one seminar is not enough to get us there, so I hope you'll continue in your practice of learning and applying with me. So let's move on to just some different concepts about managing sibling conflict now. So you've tried to prevent it. So what do you do now when it happens? And I love this. This is one of my favorite things. This little like Napoleon thing or something. It's like, I'm sorry, you're fine. Please don't tell mom. I remember my brother was such a brat to me growing up, and he was like so mean. And he would do this, and he'd be like all mean, and then he'd hurt me, and then he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. So I love this image. It's funny. But so number one, one of the things, this is one of my favorite things about positive parenting. Something, you know, we call bringing peace to the fights. So you could, when we did that second role play up here, and I asked you guys how you feel, you said, I heard calm. It was a lot more calm than the first time. So bringing peace to fights is you want to be that person to teach your kids what it looks like to solve conflicts peacefully in a calm manner. Because a lot of times we'll react, all of us as humans, we'll react like a volcano instead of responding like an EMT driver, right? I mean, if an EMT driver were to roll up to an accident and freak out, people would be like, I'm gonna die. It doesn't work. So when we do that, when our kids are in conflict or we're in conflict, we're teaching them to solve their problems like that. So then we expect them and their brother to work it out in this calm way, and we're like modeling this explosive reaction with them. So bringing peace to the fights, and one of the best ways you guys can do this is by using a win-win sheet or win-win peaceful negotiation. And this is really simple. You can make your own sheet. It says, I feel blank, I want blank, and then how are we gonna make this work for both of us? And how it works is you can start this with your oldest one first. If they don't wanna get in the bath, you can, and you're going like this, and you're like, oh gosh, that Wendy girl, she motivated me this morning not to go to the bribes and the threats and the fear and the force, so I'm gonna try something different. And I'm gonna ask him to be a monkey, or ask him if he wants this or that, or some different things, and it doesn't work. You can come to this, and now you're in conflict, right? And you can say, okay, I feel sad. I want you to get in the bath so we can have time for books. You go now, and your little five-year-old, I feel mad. I don't wanna get in the bath. Takes too long. Okay, well, how are we gonna make this work? Because I know we got this. And then I don't know. And I go, well, okay. Can I give an idea? What if you took a shower? Be really quick. Fine. Okay, fine. He gets in the shower, he's out in 2 minutes, you're reading books, he goes to bed. Obviously, it's not always that simple. And this is a big area that we go over in detail in classes and seminars, and we practice this. However, I know that it really does work. And then once you've taught your oldest this, then they start using it with each other, okay? And I know my kids started using this at the age of 3 and 6 successfully. One of them was in that big chair that they used to fight over. I'll never forget. The first time we really saw success with this was in that big chair, and I almost cried because it works. And what happens at the end of peaceful conflict negotiation is your kids are, their relationship is strengthened. They're like high-fiving, they're hugging, they're like, yes, and no one overpowered anybody. It's the greatest feeling, and it's so cool for our world. We need people to work out their differences like this. But don't get me wrong, this takes effort and practice. And it really does work. So that's one of my favorites. And then just a few more quick ideas, because I know we're running out of time. Leave the room or leave the house when you have really little ones. What you can do is you can put one in the pack and play. Make sure you have a safe zone for one so you can remove yourself from the situation. And then as you teach them not to use their hands, obviously that takes a lot of mentorship when they're little because they hit and they do stuff like that. As they get a little bit older, then you practice leaving the situation more. Have the children go outside to fight. Say, hey guys, let's go outside. I know we can work, you guys can work this out outside. Fresh air, blue sky, God's sunshine. It's just beautiful. Nature soothes all of our souls, especially our children. Do the unexpected. I used to come in and do a handstand when they were fighting. I grew up as a springboard diver, and they would just be like, what? And then all of a sudden, they've forgotten what they're arguing about. Last one is put on some music. So some calm music, maybe some classical, some reggae, some praise, some worship music. But those are all just some other ideas that you can do to bring peace to the fight instead of the traditional. Stop it. You know better. You're older. You're going to go to your room. You're going to get a spanking. You're going to get this. You're going to go. It's like, it's exhausting. It's not necessary, which is the good news. Okay? So there in your workbook, there's some more ideas that you can go through that'll give you some more ideas on those. Okay? Yes, question. Sorry. Let's see if that works.
Oh, I was just saying in the moments where you're trying to divert with music or dance or whatnot, do you go back and talk about it still, or do you just sort of like, this is just petty little, we're doing this all the time, fighting, we just let it go?
It depends. So we always say teaching to children, any person, is best done in a calm moment when emotions are settled. When emotions are like volcanoing out of us, it's no one's learning anything. So later, you can absolutely at bedtime go, oh my gosh, you guys, let's talk about earlier. You guys were fighting, and then we did this, and then you stopped fighting. Like, why did you stop fighting? And next time, what could you do to work it out? You know, let's talk about, you can, yeah, sure. You don't always have to. You guys are working with really little kids, so grace is like massive at this stage. I'd say grace over like this over worry about shaping them into be these humans. Like grace and mentorship and teaching in a calm time.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question? Okay. So I think I'll leave you guys off with just a quick story again about my history with this work. And I found this little pacifier last night as I was looking for a thumb drive at like 10 p.m. in some old drawer. And you know, you remember my kids are 6 and 9 now. And so it's like when I'm around groups like this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I miss these days. I do. Even though you think you won't, you will. And I was reminded of a time when I had been practicing this work pretty When I found this work, I was so inspired and my life was so changed by it that I became very persistent in applying it in my life. So I had really been working hard as a mom to do this work in my home and really change the way I talk to my kids and the way I teach my kids and the relationships that I had, especially with my older daughter. And it had probably been 2 or 3 years. It's been 6 years now. And I was at a little store, and I think I forget what it was, but I remember we were getting these little cookies, and for some reason I had it in me that day to like, you know, maybe I'd gotten a full night's sleep or something odd. And I was patient and I practiced some of my tools that I had learned, and they started bickering or fighting or doing something. And I remember just kind of, I don't even remember, but I probably started working with them calmly, and I got down on their eye level and asked them or just used a bunch of my tools and spoke to them kindly. And I remember a girl came up to me and we were just sitting there eating, and she looked at me and she was young and she said, I just have to tell you, it is so wonderful to hear the way you talk to your children. And it really moved me because I was like, can you understand how hard I've been working on this? Like, because that was not always the norm. I would often yell at them, and I would often get so angry and judge them and just wish they would change and wish that parenting was perfect and my children, if they would just sleep and if they would just not tantrum and all these things. But that day, all this work had paid off, and I was able to affect my small little community in this positive light, and people around me felt that, and I was like so moved by it. And so that's what I hope for you guys today, is that you'll take some of this work, you'll bring it home, you'll bring some more peace into your home, and then through that, you'll bring more peace into the world, because gosh, it's a beautiful purpose to have in life, right? A lot of people wonder what they can do these days. The world is so many challenges. Well, we have these little human beings before us that we can help change the world by how we raise them. And so I'm so thankful to be here today, and I'll be over here afterwards. Please come see me, and thank you again.
Thank you, Wendy.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Okay, so come over, but also feel free to roam.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll give you a mic, and then,
oh, shoot. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, I'll turn it off since everyone's listening to